From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's fuss about minor differences. Honestly, for those of us who love language, what could be more fun? I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, and joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Ross. Hold on one second. I just need to zhuzh my hair a little. I was watching a TV show the other day, and somebody said that they needed to zhuzh something up. And I thought, oh, zhuzh. I mean, you hear that a lot, but I wonder how they would spell that. So I didn't back it up.
Z-H-U-Z.
Almost.
No, almost, Kathy, but not quite. It's Z-H-U-Z-H.
Yeah.
I was close.
So that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Like when we write out pronouncers for announcers on the radio, when we want the zh sound, we write Z-H, right? So I was like, okay. So I typed into a search engine Z-H-U-Z-H. I was a little surprised that it came up in Merriam-Webster as a word, right? Zhuzh. I was just really fascinated. It's a word in the dictionary. And it's just one of those like sound type words that I've heard before. But it turns out that it's probably rooted in 20th century British gay subculture. Like there was a slang language called Polari.
Yes. A secret language.
I'm looking at it now in the OED.
Secret language used by gay men. Exactly.
Yeah. I've never heard of this. This is fantastic.
And the guy wrote a book on Polari, Fantabulosa, a dictionary of Polari and gay slang, actually. Isn't that cool?
Fantabulosa. I love that. Oh my gosh. Well, it's like I follow these British gay blogs that are just such fun. And they always talk about when someone dies, they're going to Fabulon, which I've always
loved. I like
loved.
That too.
And I wonder, it's like so-and-so went to Fabulon yesterday. And I want to see if that's in the Polari now. I wonder if it is.
I want to add one thing, Fletcher. There is another spelling. I just checked this in a 1977 article from Gay News. They spelled Zhoosh, Z-H-O-O-S-H.
Yeah, they have that as a variant.
Zhoosh, the variant. Zhoosh.
Yeah.
I like Z-H-U-Z-H better. I think that's a better, it's a really distinctive spelling. I like it.
Yeah.
It's funny. I've heard it for years, but I always thought it came from like something Yiddish. It was my automatic. Like schmatza or something like that, I thought.
Well, actually, there was a discussion on that. And one of the etymologists said, I always thought it was an Eastern European Yiddish background. Mm-hmm. But people are saying it probably isn't at all. Mm. And there's another theory that it could be Romani, because there's zhuzhu, meaning clean or neat.
That's interesting. Yeah, Merriam-Webster says in their history that the ideas that they come from Yiddish or Romani are not supportable. I guess that doesn't mean that they didn't, but...
No, it could just be pure coincidence. I mean, there's always an overlap in languages, completely different languages. Which gets to the point where someone's going to go like, did you know in, Malay, the word for for dog is dogar?
Right.
That means
right.
that
it came from
ancient
that, right.
Malays came to the Americas or whatever, yeah, right.
Yeah, I guess sometimes it's just a coincidence. Anyway, one of those little language things that happens to me basically every day, and it just happened to, come up last night, so I brought it up.
I'm going to start. I love zhuzh. It's perfect. It's one of those perfect words, actually,
I think. It is. It's just perfect.
Actually, on that note, we have a letter from Josh, maybe we could say.
Josh.
Josh from Atlanta.
It's spelled Z-H-O-C-H.
Actually, I'm sorry, Josh. We're going to pronounce your name correctly. Anyway, Josh from Atlanta wrote us, and he wants to stump you, Fletcher.
Oh, that shouldn't be hard, Josh.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see. I have what might be a good ammo for you to stump Fletcher. Ask him which letter of the alphabet is never not pronounced.
Which letter is never not? And I assume we're talking about in English?
Yeah, we're talking English. We're not talking about Malay or whatever. No.
Never not pronounced. Never not pronounced.
Ever.
Right. It's always pronounced is.
I know.
Oh, that would be a better way of putting it.
I don't know. I like never not pronounced. You have to like kind of wrap your little brain cells around that one, or your big brain cells, as the case may be. But
wow. I mean, okay. So I've, you know, is it great radio for me to run through all the letters of the alphabet and try to figure this out?
We could do it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of when there's a silent A. I mean, I guess through what is it? Is it a penthesis when you leave out letters? I guess
a penthesis is adding a sound.
Adding a letter. Oh, so what's it called when you leave out a letter?
Or if you blend it, it's elision.
Elision. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
I say elision.
Elysian Fields.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what
they're
I
a little. They're a little smaller. The Elysian Fields.
Well, I'm gonna help you with the A. No, A is wrong.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
But just think, Fletcher. I'm just gonna throw a couple words out though. What do you put in a sandwich?
What's the supporting part of a sandwich?
Yes.
Oh, you're talking about are you talking about bread?
Yes.
Okay.
How do you spell bread?
I mean, I guess
B R E.
I guess you would say the A is not pronounced. I might.
No.
Slightly.
Or aisle. You walk down an aisle.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to go through every letter. We know B can't be pronounced sometimes.
Right.
C. We've talked about some like Greek words that have C at the beginning that don't. You don't pronounce them. F.
F is a toughie.
F is
sort of a dubious.
Yeah.
F is dubious. I think he did not say F, but F isn't pronounced in a word like fifth. They say
fifth.
Some people pronounce it fifth.
Well, that's their.
Some people
that's
pronounce
their fault.
It,
I say fifth.
F. I think I'm going to argue with Josh on this one because I think F is a good one. I can't really think.
Yeah, because you don't say fifth. You say fifth.
Yeah.
I think it's dubious, but he didn't pick that one. So we're going to like add this to Josh's list.
Right. What about Q?
Q is interesting, Fletcher.
So when is Q not pronounced?
That's a toughie. I can give you, I know it. There is a word that it's technically not pronounced in. Think of a box from Thailand. That's a really toughie, but that's the only thing I can think of. When I was in Thailand, I bought these kind of boxes.
What?
But I mean, it was an English word, but they were shiny because they had a certain finish on them.
Oh, what are they called?
Well, they're lacquer boxes.
Lacquer. Okay.
LACQUER.
I mean, couldn't you say the C is not being pronounced there?
Well, you could argue either way. You could argue the dictionary puts it. Merriam-Webster has lacquer as their word. I think that's dubious, too. But they have it, and we're going to go with it.
Well, because there's so many CQ words that you would argue, so none of them, like acquaintance or
well, you could argue
acquiesce.
That.
Acquiesce.
Mean, I know. I think it's dubious. But we have fifth. I mean, F and Q so far are dubious. That was still in these lists.
But this is unequivocal, actually, this letter.
Let's don't equivocate and let's keep going.
Okay. Q-R-R. There's got to be R's. S-T-U-V. What about V? What about V? It feels like V is...
You got it.
That's really it?
Ding, 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 ding.
You got it.
Yes.
Just think of it. The only time they ever the V is taken out sometimes, like by poets, like Ner and E apostrophe ER, or, you know, that sort of thing. But it's always pronounced.
It feels too soft to be the answer. Doesn't it feel too, doesn't it feel like it should be a harder sound to be the answer? V. Interesting. Interesting.
But yeah, when you think, because nothing can approximate a V when you think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, sure,
they
can. Like,
I mean, what else?
Well, a W. I mean, that's always done, you know, backwards. Like what we think is backwards, like in German or whatever.
But I'm saying, but I'm talking about in English.
Oh, the letter. You're right. That's
other
the
letters today.
With.
It's like I'm not talking about like Chekhov in Star Trek going.
No. No. It was Russian, but no, you're right.
Huh?
No, V
really
is there's nothing. V is always there.
Wow.
V is your friend in English. It's always with you.
It's always with you, whether you like it or
yes.
not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
These might be pesty friend, actually. The kind that you're sort of like, oh, you're still here? And, oh, great. You know, if we were German or Russian.
I never liked... It's funny. Do you have, like, favorite letters? As a kid, I never really liked V, personally.
I don't know.
I don't know why.
I certainly don't now, but...
I don't have a thing about V for some reason. I didn't like it.
Well, I don't like it in Scrabble, so I don't like it now.
I hate it for that. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you know I'm going to spend the rest of the day trying to make a case that V isn't pronounced somewhere.
We know that.
I know.
If you email late tonight, we're not answering.
I'm not going to be able to think about anything else. Huh. All right. Thanks, Josh.
Well, they say that that because it was added late into English, it wasn't... It didn't have time to change the thing.
Well said, Kath.
Yep, didn't have time to change the thing.
Thank you, the thing.
Spoken like a true linguist. No, it didn't have time to change the thing.
Well, we all understood what I was talking about. Am I right or am I right? So
I really shouldn't laugh. I say thing all the time for everything, so I can't blame.
I say stick a lot for a lot of things, which I don't understand. I always go, you know, the stick. It's
That's
the stick. Any object, I say stick.
That's interesting.
I don't know what that means. It's something.
My daughter, when she was first learning to talk, and really up till when she was like maybe 3, maybe even a little later, she would use the word pum when she didn't know something. I don't know where pum came from. But she would like, give me the pum. And like that could be anything. Sort of like John in Philadelphia. Her word was pum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Does she still say it?
No,
or not?
She doesn't. But although the other day she said it and we looked at each other and I just felt a little teary in my eye because
that's leaving you.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
Let's.
Okay, we have another little test for you, Fletcher.
Good.
Which of these is correct? Fletcher, you can have either the filet mignon or the Big Mac. Or Fletcher, or as I wrote here, Fetcher, you can have either the filet mignon or the Big Mac.
Oh, which is correct, either or either. Look.
Ross and I can now sing You Say Potato in the background.
Yes.
Are we talking about right now? They have to both be correct right now, right? I don't really see how they couldn't be.
You're right.
This is one of those words, though, that I sort of learned, and I don't know if this is true, but I sort of learned that it used to be only either. And either was one of those sort of overcorrection things that people did to try to sound like they were literate. And they made it either, even though it should have been either. Sort of like often and often, where people pronounce the T.
We're going to talk about that in a few minutes.
Oh, good.
But for this one, basically either or either, or they're both correct. Either tends to be more popular among Americans. Either uh-huh. is more popular among British.
Has it always been that way?
Apparently, yes.
Okay. What do you guys say? Well, I actually kind of know. I've heard you say either, Ross. I don't know what you guys typically say, but I have heard you say either.
Oh, I think I say either.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard you say it because I notice it when people say it. It's just one of those horrible things that I do.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. Either is definitely right. I say either sometimes, but I don't know when. And I got to say, I do fall into the camp and I don't know why. Either does sound to me like a little more like, ooh, I'm being fancy either way. You know what I mean? As opposed to either. Yeah. Either one or either. You can choose either.
I just looked up. Canadians apparently say, neither. I wonder if I picked it up here or did I say it when we were... Did I say it in the States, Kath, or not? I don't know.
I don't know. I think that we both have always said both.
Yeah, I think so too.
Oh boy, you know what? This just popped into my head. I can specifically remember when I had either quickly drummed out of me. I don't think I ever really said it. My parents said either, and I think my dad kind of insisted on either, and I say that because... My cousin, who I grew up with when we were kids, used to say either. And one time I was playing Clue with him and I said, well, it's either.
Ooh.
Or no, I said, well, it's either this or this. And my dad overheard me and said, what did you say?
Wow.
Yeah. And I quickly corrected to either, and I have very definitely said either ever since.
That's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked this up, though, what Fletcher was just talking about. And apparently either is the original pronunciation.
Oh, of course it is, yeah.
From Anglo-Saxon into, you know, from German into Anglo-Saxon.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense.
But I say let's call the old thing off and move on to new words, new pronunciations.
Okay.
The or the Fletcher.
Oh, yeah. Well, this depends on what comes after it completely.
Well said. Tell us what.
If a consonant sound comes after it, it's typically the. And if a vowel sound comes after it, it's typically the.
And you're right when you said vowel sound, and I appreciate the fact that you clarified that, because some people go, well, yeah, but the letter, it's, you know, I can't think of anything now, of course, that, but if the sound, it is, the key is the sound, the thing, the stick, well, it's the stick.
Like, okay? I would say like the NCAA, I wouldn't say the NCAA, because N is a, starts with
is,
a vowel
is
sound.
Is an E.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, just a real quick question with the and the. Is it just because it's easier? Like, why does it need to be pronounced that way or the other way?
I think it's completely the sound.
Yeah.
How it works.
It slides into the other one better if you use the with a vowel sound. And
well, yeah, like, think of it. The apple is easy. The apple.
The apple. The apple. Yeah. Yeah. You gotta do that little stop in your throat.
It's not as bad, the consonant, if you had to change the to the with the consonant. The book. He liked the book. It just sounds...
That sounds terrible.
I don't like the book. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, it really
it does.
I
was saying, yeah. No, you could do it, but no, I wouldn't say the book. Although,
Has anyone ever done TEFL, you know, teaching English as a foreign language?
No.
Because I'm interested, because, like, are people taught that? I mean, I never even knew it was a rule until, you know, years after speaking. You know,
oh, yeah.
Many years.
Oh, speaking. Yeah. I didn't either.
But I'm sure that, you know, we followed that. We all probably followed that rule religiously. Yet.
Oh,
I think it
is taught as when you're taught. I think it is. I'm sure it
is.
It must be. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just glanced right now. I just did the in TEFL, and they said focus on the sound, not spelling. It's definitely taught. But yeah, I don't recall as a kid being taught. It was just one of those things you just knew.
Yep, you
just osmosis.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, your language brain just picks it up, and that's what you do.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Fletcher, I sent you a little dialogue.
Yes. And this would be a completely fictional situation, and I think it'll be obvious.
Give me a... Whatever. Yeah, go on.
Okay, so...
Well, I suspect he would have kept the two.
Yes, that's exactly what would have happened. I say, can I have a cookie? And I'm given two cookies. And I say, oh, thanks, but I said a cookie. Or did I say a cookie? Is that the question here? Should I be saying or a?
Yeah, and you did it backwards, I think.
No.
Didn't he, Kat?
Yeah. I mean, sort of.
Read it again.
What I would say, and what I think everybody would say if they were just asking for it, is can I have a cookie? Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
And
yes.
When I want to emphasize it, I say, okay, oh, thanks, but I said a cookie.
Yes. Now you get it the way. Yeah.
Which probably, now that I've said it all out loud, is not what I would actually say. I probably would. I mean, I wouldn't ever say I only want one cookie. But theoretically, I probably would say, okay, thanks, but I said a cookie. I would probably still do that when I emphasize it like that.
Let's try to change this then.
Okay.
Can I have a cookie? Okay. And then you're given a banana. Now say.
Well, then I'd just be emphasizing cookie. Okay, thanks, but I said a cookie.
Okay, you're too.
Yeah,
you're a schwa sound.
I really mostly am.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying. Can I have a cookie? Oh, thanks, but I said a cookie. Oh, thanks, but I said a cookie. Yeah, I would say a.
Yeah.
I would definitely say the a.
Yeah. Interesting.
Fletcher would do the, you know, the which is the schwa sound. You're indeed a schwa sound man.
And
okay,
I'm a schwa sound
man. Oh, you could be like a superhero. Schwa sound.
I know.
Sound man.
Should you have said, hey, no, it's ah, yes.
Huh. That's one of those funny things. I don't think I could have told you I do that until just now when I said it all out loud. I think if you'd asked me, I would have said that I say a in that kind of situation.
Probably you would have, but it was interesting because both, you mean, you defaulted very quickly to ah, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, when you do it, I could see both because you, oh, thanks, but I said cookie. Actually, I can see where you would
I can see either.
I said either.
you just did, Kath. You're right. You're right. It's probably from reading Enid Blyton's when we were a kid. The pronunciation sort of leapt off the page or something. I don't know.
Yes, I'm sure it did, Ross.
You guys, you know what I love about this episode is not only for us, but I think everybody listening is going to be like hyper-focused on the way they say things for the rest of the day. Everybody's going to be walking up, I like to make people neurotic.
We read an interesting rant online on In the UK, the A pronunciation of the indefinite article has become commonplace amongst a Tory politician and has spread like a contagious disease to other parties and to broadcasting media. I've even heard another uttered on air by a politician so in grip of the disease that he could not help himself. As a consequence, its occasional use for emphasis is in danger of being lost.
Huh.
It's sort of like, you know how it used to be, you'd always read those things like how people trying to sound posh in the UK would say, like, this is with an I. Instead of saying quite, they would say quaite. You know?
Uh-huh.
And it seems like this is a bastardization of that, or this is an extension of that, no? It's like for some reason, A is considered classy. I don't know why, but...
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think it's probably, it is probably from that.
Or maybe, I mean, it, look, I know very little really about politics in Britain, and certainly not about the language used by politicians, but it could also be like one of those things that becomes a signifier of where you stand, of your in-group, right? And like, he said, like this, this person specifically said Tory politicians. So like if the conservatives, you know, if somebody starts saying it that way and all the other conservative politicians start saying it that way, then that sort of starts to signify that you are part of that group.
Yeah, we're part of the
club. Yeah, you're in with the in crowd. I sound like a pirate.
I was just about to say. I'm not sure that's what they want to get across, Kat.
I just found it interesting, speaking about TEFL, that there was so much, there was a lot of emphasis placed on the different sounds that A has in English.
Oh.
Like we're talking about but there's actually a lot more that, I mean, that are being taught because you see an A and what does it mean to us? We know. I mean, cat and car sound very different.
Yeah.
That A.
Yeah. That's hard when I look
at. Unless you're from Boston.
I guess they made things easier, didn't they? It's hard when I look up like they have the pronunciation symbols. That's hard for me on A, especially when it comes to a word. I mean, like, obviously I know how to say car, but when you have that sound, it's hard for me, since I don't know by heart all of the pronunciation symbols, it's sometimes hard for me to figure out exactly what I'm supposed to be saying.
Yeah, IPA, International Phonetic Alphabet. Yeah, it can be difficult.
Yeah.
But let's go through a couple of these. Kath hates it. I know.
I heard that.
Kath even, occasionally we'll do is like, I'll put that one in, and Kath immediately gets annoyed and then does her own transliteration.
Spell it my way.
I know. But let's just go through them quickly. We have Jack, exact, that's one way. Yacht, father, another A. About, around, another A. Tall, law, another A.
Which is different from
Yes. Cable, stable. Eight. Share, rare.
That one's hard because what is that?
That's
A
tough.
Sound really. But yeah, it bleeds into the
share,
R, right?
A,
yeah.
A.
Yeah, that's a toughie.
A.
And then
it's like pride. An A.
Jane Eyre. Yes, it is.
It's either Eyre.
And then what was the last one? Kat, you want to read the last one?
Climate and Senate. So that's like an almost like an eh.
Which is a little different, I guess, from about climate.
Versus climate. Yeah, it's like flatter.
It's very subtle, but it is a difference. Yeah. Wow.
I would go bonkers if I had to learn English as a second language. I mean, I know. Seeing this, I would quit that course. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she's a great teacher, the one that like put this all together, but I would just be like, forget it.
You know, no, I'll wouldn't stick too. With,
you know, Croatian or whatever I'm speaking.
Okay, and then we have the quickie here, A versus An. We can just do that really fast. When do you use A? When do you use An?
Yeah, it's sort of like with the and the. If you have a vowel sound coming next, then you use An. And if you don't, if you have a consonant sound, you use A.
Okay, so then with a H-O-U-R, it would be
an,
A or an.
An hour.
Precisely. Then with the one-horned animal, the unicorn.
An unicorn. A unicorn.
Yeah.
And please don't bring up historian again, because we'll just get lots of
I know. I'm going to be screaming.
Angry letters
I know.
From every side. Yeah.
I know.
The next one we had talked about before, this is something that drives me crazy, and I know it oughtn't, but it really makes me go batty, is often, often.
Uh-huh.
The whole concept of often.
Yeah, like
often.
It bothers you when people say the T?
Yes, very much.
Yeah, it bothers me
very, very too. Much.
It bothers me too. So mostly I'm just seething inside all the time. I mean, this is like this is another one of those things that's at this point kind of our problem, right?
Uh-huh.
People say it everywhere. And is it accepted now? Like, is it actually a pronunciation?
Well,
we were shocked on this one because Kathy was saying basically it's almost never used. And I agreed. Hmm. And then we went to Merriam-Webster. And we went to the OED, and it's right there mm-hmm. with the T.
Yeah, I hear
as,
it. As,
you know,
a lot.
Noted that people are doing it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What I found fascinating was I didn't believe it when Ross said it, because Ross looked it up and said in Merriam-Webster, often with the T was the first pronunciation, and often was the second. And I, of course, accused Ross of being a fool and not looking at it properly and mm-hmm. obviously doing
yeah.
it wrong.
Oh, let me look,
and then when
Kathy
I went,
said.
Yes, I did. And then when I looked, he was absolutely right.
Really?
I did not apologize to him, but I
yeah.
did express my shock.
That is.
No, that was, that
I
was really
very
weird.
Surprised. I am very surprised.
I know.
It
and
is.
Often has been around. We checked the OED first edition, and the pronunciation, the first pronunciation there is often. And I mean, you know, that was said back then as well. So because we were wondering maybe it's like a basically an artifact of the past, but it doesn't appear to be.
Huh.
The thing that got me when we looked it up, and it came from oft, obviously. So back in the 1300s, when it was starting to be used as often, I'm sure they pronounced the T because it was often. And then over time, the T, as we were talking about with the other words that where they didn't lose it or they did, the T fell away. It's just like it was just softened and became often.
I'm wondering if it's an Americanism, because the OED from 1902 also says the pronunciation often, which is not now recognized in dictionaries, is now frequent in the south of England and is often used in singing. Notice I said often. I didn't say often.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering,
thank you.
You know, if it's basically the Americans or
Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth did not pronounce the T.
Well, that's
the old Queen
that's
Elizabeth.
Good enough for me. That's it. No T.
If the Queen didn't use it, it says that in E.J. Dobson, in his authoritative work, English Pronunciation 1500 to 1700, noted that Queen Elizabeth did not pronounce the T.
Huh.
And it said that pronunciation without the T seems to have been avoided in careful speech. So often was the classy way.
Yeah.
Often was either an A. Quate.
Quate. Yes.
Yeah. That's definitely one of those examples of people trying to sound classier and overcorrecting, I think.
Yep.
Like if the classy version was often, and obviously it was, if Queen Elizabeth was saying it, then people were overcorrecting by saying often.
Oh, we should say these are called silent medial T's, because they're silent and they're in the middle.
Oh.
It's nice and neat.
Nicely done.
Can't argue with that one. I just wanted to say one other thing that was interesting when I was just looking still at often. They were saying how when printing started, you got more spelling influenced pronunciation in the 1600s. So they think that's where the T came back. You lost in the 1300s, you had often, and then it started going away. And then when printing became big, you're seeing it. We go back to spelling pronunciation, which I'm guilty of in, with so many words. I am a spelling pronouncer. I'm sure both of you, we've talked about
sure.
this.
Oh, sure, we've talked about that.
You can't help it, yeah. So, I mean, it really interests me that in often you've got that silent T came back because people are seeing a T, and it's like,
yeah,
often.
Yeah,
it's cool. Right there. It's right in front of me.
Right.
Okay, for our last word of the day, Fletcher, this is sort of a off case here. Cyberspace. And we have a New Yorker magazine from 1976 saying, cyber is such a perfect prefix because nobody has any idea what it means. It could be grafted onto any old word to make it seem new, cool, and therefore strange and spooky, which I like.
Yeah.
And we have the word, the prefix cyber was a word invented by the neuromancer, William Gibson Neuromancer. It is related to which, here's the question, which other word is it related to etymologically? Now we're going to test your etymological bones.
Ooh.
Is it related to one, governor, two, cipher, three, subscriber?
Ooh, cyber, goop. Governor.
Well, crap, yeah.
You know how I did that?
How?
Cyber, I sort of changed it to Kyber for some reason, and then I thought of gubernatorial, and so that's how I got there.
Fletcher, you are great. I am really impressed
with that.
You are
like super Schwab man.
Yeah. No, you're completely correct. It's a Latinized form of the Greek kybernetes, which is steersman, which is a guy who steers a ship.
Cool. Yeah.
With a K. And then it went into Latin, which is that ugly gubernatorial, that we get. And then from there it came into cybernetics was the first word that really had it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gibson basically made it into like a wonderful, bizarre prefix.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk, cybersex, cyberspace, etc.
Right.
It's funny, though, how times have changed. I was just seeing that, Ross, that little quote you did from New York Magazine. That was from 1996.
Right.
And they said it makes a new word seem new and cool, therefore strange and spooky. I think we've lived with cyber for so long. Yeah. I don't think of it as strange or spooky at all.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think that's really good, Kev. I completely agree with you. Cyber now has more of a thing of like
the internet,
like computery, internet-y thing.
Yeah, really.
It just means the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's computery, internet-y. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah.
I
mean, I do see cyborgs in my head. I do see still slick little people that like walk, I don't know, differently and are shiny, but that's it. But yeah, no, I don't at all think of it as strange.
Well,
yeah.
It's funny.
Like, yeah, cyber.
Because like if you go back and watch movies from the 1990s, where nobody really knew what the internet was going to be like. It's all like weird and there's all sorts of strange stuff. And now it's like, it's just hard to pay your phone bill.
Yeah, exactly.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.